Live from the podcast studio, this is From Long Distance to Marriage with Rich and Andrea. We're a once long distance couple who closed 5,000 miles of distance and are now happily married.
We talk long distance, marriage and relationships.
Hello all, welcome to episode 121 of From Long Distance to Marriage. We're just going to dive right into the topic this week because it can be a rather meaty one. Basically this week we want to talk about what happens when your partner throws a bit of a curveball. And by that we mean maybe coming along and saying something that's the complete opposite of what they always said, or changing their minds about a big life matter. So whether that's deciding that they don't want kids when they said that they did, or vice versa, or maybe even deciding they want to dive into a new religion, or wanting to move somewhere across the world that's quite difficult, or if you are long distance, it might be something like them initially saying they wanted to move to be near you, and then now it's like, no, you move here.
Well, you've even heard of people who, you know, say they're now gay.
Yeah. Or people nowadays that say, like, oh, I'm actually a woman, or I'm actually a man, you know, if they're transgender. Yeah. And these things, obviously, these are different degrees of surprise and shock, but really any of them can really
throw you
and kind of make you question what you thought you knew about your life with this person. And you know, there's not going to be any easy answer for any of them, but there's certainly ways to navigate through some of it.
Yeah, well, I think when you're in a relationship, and it's particularly one that it's been going for a little while, there's a degree of stability that you think you've got, you know, and like anything can change at any moment, but I think you typically feel that you know the relationship and that is stable. You know, so outside influences can affect it and things can change that are out of your control, but you the bedrock of a relationship is trust, and you think you know your partner. So to varying degrees, then to say, actually, this thing that you thought you knew or you did know and that I led you to believe or whatever,
is no longer.
Not that they're ever lying about it. I think some of these things can be actual new changes. But well, either way, the person on the receiving end of the information, it's hard, I imagine, for both people, but in different ways.
Yeah, and I think you do have to remember that we always say a relationship is not just one unit. It is two separate people with different wants and needs and desires and personalities, and people do change. And I think it's very easy to slip into the, oh, well, I know what I'm getting, you know, da da da. But it's also very naive. And also yourself, you might change, you know, not just your partner. You might decide, oh, I really feel this religion calls to me, or I want to do this huge life-changing whatever. We all encounter things. We all change. We all grow. And sometimes that makes it difficult for the people around us. But
well, also just you can be the same, but you might want to do something dangerous. Like if you said to me, like, do you know what, I'm going to climb Everest, I wouldn't really have a right to stop you doing that, but I worry.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what am I supposed to do in that situation? Realistically, other than try and, you know, talk to you about it and explain why I'm not happy with it, I couldn't stop you going up there. And people do that all the time, you know, like sporting activities or just dangerous jobs even. You know, you frequently hear about people who try and change what their partner does or wants to do.
Mm. And dangerous hobbies like motorcycling or rock climbing, stuff like that. You know, things do happen. But I think it's also important to remember that not all of these are going to be, they might be life-changing, they might be a bit of a shock, but they're not going to be as drastic as, say, huge lifestyle changes. Like, it might be like, do you know what? I'm going to quit my job and start my own business. Like, that, as long as they've got the plan and done the research and have a viable business idea, like, that doesn't have to be a bad thing, but it could mean, you know, several months of tightening your belt and having to really huddle together and make things work. And I don't know. I think you just need to find out, is this something that I can be supportive of for my partner, or is it something that is really actually quite irresponsible? You know, I mean, we all have whims and we all go through phases, and it's not to be dismissive of what someone's going through, but some things are actual big, no, this is how I feel, this is what I think, and some are like, yeah, maybe I feel like doing that, and then we're obsessed with it for a week, and then we kind of stop talking about it. Like, there are different things. So I think, firstly, before you get too kind of emotionally charged about whatever your partner's revealed that they want to do or want to change or want to not do, firstly, just sit with it for a little while and see if it actually is a real thing or if it is just a bit of a phase or just an off-the-hand comment. Like, growing up, my mom used to make comments, not about, like, life-changing stuff, but stuff that we'd wanted to do or, like, I wanted a dog forever. And she'd be like, yeah, maybe. But really? And she's like, yeah. And then I'd ask again, like, whatever happened? No, you're too young. Like, just people just say stuff. And then you think, oh, gosh, what does this mean?
Yeah, I think all that. But then if you're talking more about actual changes, you know, so we did that episode last year with, must have been the year before now, with Alice and David, you know, the religion episode. And, you know, he made the point that, I think it was their relationship was sort of predicated on them both sharing faith, and they went to church, and going to church wasn't just about going to church, it was the community. So their social circle was people from the church also with a shared faith, and then, you know, he starts having doubts and moving away from that faith, and suddenly it's not only telling his wife, or he's not only his wife feeling like, well, this is a big change. What does this mean for us? Our whole thing's based on this shared connection, but also the whole wider circle.
Mm.
So much of that. So on the one hand, it's a very personal thing, whether or not you believe in any religion or whatever else. But the level of influence that comes in from it can be huge. And then the question of what happens next. Because I think in his case, he's, you know, there was no animosity towards the religion and things. He was quite happy to still see those people and do those things. But not everyone does. There are plenty of people who say, I'm completely turned away from this.
Yeah.
So that the impact on the relationship is going to change there. In his case, it was his wife was understanding enough.
It's hard for them.
Hard for them, but he was still happy to kind of have a level of involvement, so he wasn't completely closing the door on it, which probably made it easier for her, and then her own understanding and commitment to him. But if he'd said, no, that's it, I don't have anything to do with these people, I don't want to hear about anything to do with church, like, I would imagine that the impact on her would have been bigger.
Yeah, and it's really tricky, and I know for a lot of religions that religion comes first in the relationship. And a lot of people say, like, you know, a solid foundation in your beliefs is what should come first in your marriage. And, you know, that's not true for everyone. It's not true for us. You know, we came into a relationship with completely different beliefs. And then we still have completely different beliefs. So, and it's fine. But, you know, I guess that's different. We came into it knowing we believed completely different things. So it's never been a factor in our relationship. It's never...
No, we've never been, let's go to church, these are the people that we know, after church we're seeing these people, having lunch with them.
Yeah, but beyond that, it didn't matter. Like, we knew what we were getting going into it. You knew what I believed. I knew what you believed. Some of that's changed a bit over the years, but we still inherently believe different things.
Mm.
But that's fine, because we knew that. It was like when we got together, you smoked and you don't anymore. And I had nothing to do with that decision. I didn't really like it. You knew that, you know, I was a bit concerned about your health, but I didn't give you a hard time because I chose you and I knew what I was getting. And now and then when you talk about it, like, yeah, I would like it if you quit, you know, it made me really happy, but hey, and then you did and it was great. So, you know, when you go into a relationship thinking this is what we have, even if it's different, this is who we are, but we're different. And then that changes again. You know, it can be a bit mind boggling, but yeah, when you get into a relationship and it is maybe not the reason you're together, but it's, even if it's how you met, if you meet at church or you meet at a specific...
Well, it's just part of your identity.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think religion can be particularly tricky in that sense, because
it's very...
Well, not only have you got your own beliefs, which, you know, it can take you a while. If you're starting to have doubts, that could take a long time for you to process it internally. Then you've got the whole thing of this, you know, it's almost like coming out to that community that you know, I'm no longer in this, then there's all the reactions. But then also, there can be real judgment within that community, if nothing else, through fear. You know, you certainly see that with people who still believe, they then start to worry about you in the afterlife, kind of thing. You know, what about your soul? Where are you going to go? Are you not worried about this? So it can be a particularly difficult process, that whereas something like telling your partner that actually, you know, your sexuality is not as clearly defined as maybe it used to be or they thought it was, at least that's just between the two of you. Okay, it'll extend into family and stuff, and they'll probably have a support outlet, but there's probably not going to be a group of people who are worried about you to the same extent as it can happen with religion,
yeah,
or trying to convert you back, or, you know, I think there can be a period of surprise, maybe shock, but, you know, probably quite quickly after that, it's going to be support and people trying to understand. So I think that the different types of changes that a person has can have different, like, tailwind, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, religion, I absolutely believe that in most cases, couples can work around differences in religion. I'm sure there's some instances where it wouldn't work, and, you know, family's really difficult about who you're with based on their religion.
I think it depends on the strictness of that.
Yeah.
That couple, because, you know, some are like, yeah, I'm religious, but whatever. And then you have some who are very, very strict, and you can only be with someone from your religion. And
yeah, but all I mean is, like, I think couples can work around that, and some people might choose to say, you know what, if you're deciding to change this religion, like, our family's going to cut us out, but, you know, I love you and I'll stay. I'm just saying, like, there are things that I think people can work around it, but all I'm saying is it's obviously a very big one. It's obviously one of the more weighted ones, but something like, actually, you know what? I don't want kids, or I do, when you thought I didn't, or, you know, my sexuality isn't, like, there's some that you're not going to be able to work through, is what I'm getting at. And there's some that you will be able to.
Yeah.
And that's gonna be different for everyone. You know, some people, I mean, I don't know how, obviously, if someone comes out and is gay, how that's going to work, because obviously they're not looking for what they have with you, really. They're looking for something else. Now,
something you can't provide.
Yeah. And I think me, and I know, I don't know a great deal about the transgender community. We're all learning a lot about that still. But I do know that some people say, hey, I'm going to become this, and their partner might stay with them. You know, I don't really know. It depends on every situation,
There's someone like that just outside of our family.
Yes, that's right. Yeah,
you know, and so
talking about that, family friend.
Yeah, although but the situation there is they were with a.
There were two girls together.
That's right, it was a lesbian.
I can remember.
So it was a lesbian couple, and then one of them decided to transition and
become a man.
With full surgery too, yeah. so physically resembles a man, and they stayed together. So you know, their partner. We don't know the actual couple, no. So we don't know the
ins and outs and how.
Yeah, but
yeah, this is just an example.
Because it's not been quick. So it's not been like, you know, this person just hasn't had time to leave yet. I think it's been a multi-year process, and the partner has stayed and presumably supported them. So, it's by no means the a death sentence for a relationship.
Yeah, it just depends. But
it very much depends on the people, yeah.
And the circumstances. And
I think that's the big part of it. You know, so if big part of this episode conversation needs to be around the reaction, because, you know, just as the person who's coming out with the news has every right to and entitlement to and shouldn't hold anything in, you know, if you feel like, actually, you know, I thought I was straight and I wanted to make this work, but actually I'm gay, like, of course they should come out with that.
Yeah,
if you change your mind that you do or don't want kids, you shouldn't ever be forced. You shouldn't be forced not to have kids if you really want them, and no one should have more kids than they want either. So you have to come forward with it, but you're on the other side of that. There's not everyone will react in exactly the same way.
Well, and it's shattering. It shatters your world if you had a vision of what your life is going to look like with this person, and they throw this curveball that completely will change everything.
Yeah,
but
I mean, so that example with the transgender couple that we just mentioned, I mean, there's the identity conversation for the partner in that situation, because she was in a lesbian relationship. Now, she may now get questions of what kind of relationship is this now? Because are you now with, like, you know, a man, like a physical man?
I guess that's no one's business, really, though. It's whatever.
No, no, it's not, but you can imagine that she
It's a bit confusing.
Went through these questions in her mind, you know, and I think the problem with any of these kind of examples is all the focus, conversation, empathy, understanding goes to the person with the news, which is understandable.
And they need that.
Then yeah, they totally need that. But I think the people, the partners in those relationships also need that. They don't want pity. I think maybe there's a risk of it.
They need support.
Yeah, they need to talk through that. How do you feel about this? You know, what do you want to still make this work? You know, and
I think that's what it comes down to, is can you still have a happy relationship? And if you think so, you both think, yep, this is going to change everything, but I think we can still find happiness, then you give it a try and you give it your best. But, you know, like you were saying about, you know, the example with having children, you know, anybody who wants to have children should be able to try to, and anyone who doesn't want to shouldn't be forced to. And what it comes down to is that, you know, if it's that situation, you know, if you need to have kids to be happy, which is absolutely valid, and if the other one needs to not have kids to be happy, which is equally valid, the likelihood is that you're neither of you are going to be completely happy. One of you is going to have to compromise. And there are situations in life where you have to compromise, especially in a relationship or marriage. You have to compromise most days. But something that big, I don't know if I think you should have to compromise. It's unless hard. You can actually be happy.
Yeah, it's hard because there are some scenarios where you just say that this relationship's not going to work out. We can't reconcile this, but you still love each other.
And that's heartbreaking.
Yeah, it is. So, because, you know, the thing is, and especially nowadays, more than any time in history, nowadays relationships can take on many different forms. You know, so let's go back a little bit to if one of you was to come out as gay or straight, you know, there are couples now where there's three of them in there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so there are some, you could say, look, I need to be in a strictly monogamous relationship, and you having that news means this can't move forward. But there are other people who would say, well, let's explore options here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, do we become a, what are they called, throuples?
Or polyamorous.
Yeah, so, you know, that there are options nowadays. And with kids, there are some people who just have no choice but to walk away. Some people would, as you said, I don't think you should compromise that, because having a child, you know, that's obviously lifelong.
It's not a way to compromise that. It's
no, but it may make some people think, actually, do you know what? Maybe that'll help them soften the idea, or whatever.
Or maybe you look at adopting, because then you're helping, you know, a child in need as well as, I know, that's why if there's no simple answer to this. I think all we want to do is shed some light and offer some guidance on what you need to think about, because every situation is different, every couple is different.
So one of the examples you gave at the beginning of this was being in long distance.
Mm-hmm.
And one of you saying that you didn't want to, or you did want to move, and then sort of changing your mind. And
yeah.
Some of this is kind of cold feet. You know, so there was something, I saw something the other day around this where someone was saying that their boyfriend was going to move.
To them?
I think it might have been similar to us, US and UK. And then he started having, I don't know if they were doubts as such, but he started saying, you know, he's concerned that once he's moved, he's not going to see his family as much and see his friends as much. And, you know, my reaction to that was, well, that's probably a good thing, because that's very true. You know, and we've said multiple times, we've done episodes on this, that when you close the distance with your partner, you open the distance with everything else. At some point, he's going to have that realization. And it's probably best he has that realization before he moves, rather than a year into it, and then it's potentially much more impactful psychologically to both of them, could be much more problematic. Whereas by realizing it before he makes the move, he can come to terms with that. He can talk to his family. He can kind of not get out of his system, because you're always going to want to see your family, but maybe he can, you know, have a party, or deliberately spend more time with them, or try and make plans. Whatever it is, he can go through that process of thinking, okay, what have I got to do here? Whereas if you, most people or a lot of people will come into that 6-12 months after moving, maybe less, maybe more, by which point it's not too late, but there's nothing you can really do about it. You either, okay, this is it, get on with it, or you go home, you know. So being long distance and changing your mind, I think a big part of that can be there are options there, because if they're saying I want to be with you but I don't think I can go through with me being the one to move, or one obvious option is the other person moves. Like, is that viable in your situation? Or it could just be that they're kind of nervous about it and they're not sure. And then you go through the process. Just go, well, look, this is what life will be like here. This is how you'll get a job. This is how you'll do whatever you should need to do. You worry about seeing your family. Like, well, we had those conversations about what if we need to go home quickly. And we always said, well, we'll make sure we've got means, financial means of buying a plane ticket.
Maybe that means an empty credit card.
Even if it means a credit card, yeah. So that was just something that we could tick off the list of, like, you know, whatever some of our conversations, what you needed and what we could foresee for the future as being something that was important to us. I think that's indicative of a healthy relationship on your long distance. Like, you need to go through that.
So you need to ask the questions.
It doesn't mean, oh my God, my boyfriend, girlfriend, husband, wife doesn't want to do this, or they're changing their mind, or they don't want to be with me. It can, at the end of the day, moving anywhere, especially moving internationally or hours away from home and starting somewhere new, when you only really know one person, is a huge life change. And I think the older you are, the more huge it is.
Yeah.
So it's, one, it's normal, it's expected. Two, you as the partner in that situation is, like, there's no other way of saying it, your responsibility is helping them through that. Like, because it's just a part of it. And yeah, you're allowed to feel a bit nervous, like, are they going to change their mind and stuff? You're allowed to feel that way. But you have to have the understanding and the empathy, because they're the one going through it. And you're probably a little bit worrying if they didn't. If they were able to just leave their family, friends, everything without a second thought, like, that may be a bit of an insight into their like, psyche or something, like, unless they've had a really horrific
or just background. Short-sightedness. But
yeah,
you know, and it's hard because we encountered a little bit of this. Like, it was just always that I wanted to make the move. You know, I was keen to live somewhere else and do something different and try something and experience something completely different. And I think I wasn't unaware of how hard it was going to be. But part of me felt like it was so unlikely that we'd ever make it, that, like, yeah, I knew, yeah, it'd be hard, I'll be away from my family, I knew what I was going to have to do, but, like, you don't really know. And then, you know, and then when it was actually, right, okay, we're going to do this, we're applying for the visa, we're going to get married, then it's, your focus is completely on that and making your application perfect so there's no way they can say no to you. And then you get the green light and you're so excited, oh my God, yes, we're going to be together. And then you start packing and planning and arranging, and suddenly then you have time to think, like, this is actually happening. My life is going to completely change, and it's exciting and it's great, but it's also scary and worrying. And, you know, I think it probably wasn't until the weeks leading up to my moving out here that I really stopped to feel those feelings about leaving my family and what that was going to mean. And I still knew I wanted to do it. And just because I was worried about it and sad and starting to grieve, it didn't mean that I didn't want to go through with it.
Mm.
And that was hard for you because, you know, what are you supposed to say? Like,
yeah, that's the thing. Like, it can be hard, but it's still normal and it was my responsibility in that moment to listen to you and
say why you would help me and how you would help me and stuff. And
yeah, so it wasn't about me.
No. And, you know, and I made it clear, like, look, I'm not necessarily having doubts. I'm just feeling that loss, that yes, I'm gaining this exciting new life with you, which is where my life is going now. I'm just acknowledging that the really good life I've had all along and that I love, parts of that are not ending, but ending in the way that they have been and changing. And you let me feel that and you didn't freak out, which, you know, I maybe would have had the tables been turned. think you're just a bit more secure and calm than I am. But it did get worse once I got here. And it wasn't worse, like, in the sense that, like, I wanted to back out. It was just this feeling of, like, this is real. Shit, I'm here. Like, I'm doing this. Was this the right thing? And it was, again, it wasn't doubt, but it's perfectly natural to think, like, wow, okay. Did I make the right decision? I'm sure I did. Like, you know, it's just a lot to think about. And I think what finally ended those feelings for me, and I'm sure we had talked about you maybe moving to America one day, and you're like, yeah, like, maybe, you know, like, I wouldn't be opposed to it, da, da, da. It was just, I was always so keen to come here.
You needed to know that that was
an option on the table. Potentially, yeah. And you struggled with that. And this was like, I was planning our wedding, I wasn't working, like, this was early days.
It came up before we even moved here. We had this conversation.
Yeah, but we never resolved it until we were here.
Your attitude to it was, basically, you needed the reassurance that if you, for whatever reason, didn't get on here, couldn't live here, needed to go home, would that be the end of us, or would it be on the table
to try out
that
there?
We'd live out there? So you needed that.
And I think at first, maybe I didn't make it clear what I was trying to get from you. It wasn't like, okay, in a few years, if I don't like this, we'll go back, right? And that's not what I was looking for. And I think that's maybe what you thought. And you didn't want to say, like, yeah, that's fine, because I think in your mind, you were concerned that I wouldn't then give it a fair chance.
I was more concerned that, like, you don't want to say something like that on a whim.
Yeah.
Because I don't want to put it in your head that if you weren't getting on, you'd say, okay, well, you said you'd come back, and I'm thinking, well, we haven't actually discussed this. I haven't really thought about it in that sense. Like,
yeah, so you were
just because I said it offhand.
So, but you were a bit evasive. Like, you wouldn't...
That's why.
You wouldn't say no, you wouldn't say yes. But it wasn't because you were just being difficult.
No, my attitude to it was, it's on the table that if that's where we get and that's what needs to be done, then
we'll go through that as a couple.
We'll go through it at the time. Yeah. But at that moment, I didn't want to say, oh, yeah, of course we'll move to America, when I hadn't really thought that that was an option. We hadn't discussed that being our plan and stuff. So it wasn't that I didn't think you would give it a fair shot. It was, oh, I don't want to say something.
You did say that to me.
I don't want to say something just to console you. And then actually it comes back to, like, okay, well, that's not what we're doing. And do you know what I mean? That was the thing.
I think you did say that to me. Like, I don't want you to not give it a fair shot because you think when it gets hard, we can just go back. Yeah, not right that too. Wasn't a... It didn't sound as shitty as that. It was just me kind of summarizing it. It was totally fair, and I knew where you were coming from. And it wasn't until we were here and I was planning... We were planning the wedding and going through it all that I said, like, look, I'm scared. And I need to know that if someday I need to be near my family again, that it's an option that you will address with me and it won't be an automatic no. At that point, you were able to say, like, yeah, of course. Like,
yeah, I think I always try to have a lot of understanding of the enormity of what you've done.
Don't you forget it.
No. funnily enough, I think the longer we got into the relationship, the more I realised it. You know, cause I think early on, like you said, it's just...
But you're excited.
You're kind of just going through it. And because for me, nothing really changed. The change was you being here, but my life otherwise hadn't really changed.
Yeah, so you gained things. You didn't have to give anything up.
Yeah, so I didn't really immediately see that because I wasn't necessarily going through it. We were fairly young when we got married too. So it was as I got a little bit older and made a few trips, and you have the phone calls with your family back home. So that's when I started to go. I was like, okay, yeah, normally you would be there. You're not with your family there and stuff. So I always tried to really have some empathy for that. And I think that's just important. Like any long-distance couple, any of the scenarios that we've spoken about today where someone's coming out with some very personal, vulnerable news, they need understanding, they need empathy. And I think the knee-jerk reaction for a lot of people is, oh my God, how does this affect me? And that's valid, that's understandable, but...
It's not the only thing that matters.
It's not the only thing that matters. It's not the ideal response because they've probably been wrestling with that for a long time and they've been thinking how to do it. They've probably gone through all the scenarios in their head of people's reactions, which are probably focused more on the negative, like, how's this going to go wrong? Everyone's going to disown me or be disappointed in me or be like... whatever it may be, they've probably run through the negative.
Yeah, this has been eating at them for a long time.
Exactly.
By the time it comes to you.
So then when they finally get the courage to come to you and say, look, this is what I've been going through, if your first reaction is, oh, well, what about me? that's not going to be helping them too much.
But it is hard, and it is natural to react that way.
Yeah, you know, it is. It is totally. But once that moment's gone, I think it's important to then look back at the, okay, what about them? What are they going through? How hard is this for them?
Yeah, I think, and, you know, we had that last year on a much smaller scale when, you know, you were laid off as a result of the pandemic, you know, affecting your job. And not only did you, I mean, you told me straight away, you weren't like grappling with, like, oh, I've lost my job and it's been ages. You told me straight away. And it wasn't how this is going to affect me. It was, oh God, how's this going to affect us? You know, it wasn't really selfish, but, you know, we have a mortgage to pay. You know, we have bills. But then it was that you had to tell me that, and I'm not going to look for a normal job again right away. I want to try and make a go of it my own, which, you know, in the middle of a pandemic, you may not have found something anyway.
That was partly my reasoning.
Yeah.
Was, well, there's probably not a lot. Well, I knew there wasn't much being.
And that was a bit more when I was like, all right.
Well, yeah, you're a lot more risk averse. So your default reaction is,
fear-based. It's not that I don't want you to go after you what you want, but it's like, okay, well, ideally in this situation, we'd have a lot more money saved up if you were, or you'd have a business loan or whatever.
But I think, like, I was able to say too, like, well, I've just lost this job, so there goes the fantasy of any safety.
Yeah.
You know, so in a lot of ways, the pandemic made that easier. There were certain
schemes and support.
Well, we didn't get any schemes and support and stuff. We didn't receive any money, but yeah, there was some leeway on the mortgage and things, people weren't hiring, and it just, there was a few factors that thought, okay, do you know what, this opportunity in this way won't be here again, so let's take advantage of it.
And again, on a much smaller scale, that was life-changing, or it could have been, potentially.
Yeah, but I always just take that, the same interview I took with that was, if it doesn't work out, I'll get a job.
Yeah.
So, but you're right, that was an example where your default is fear.
Mm-hmm.
And how's that going to affect you? And
well, not just me, but us, like, as a couple. Like, realistically, you not getting up and going into an office, or, well, not at that time, but logging in on a laptop to speak to other people for your job, that wasn't going to affect me. And, you know, I was concerned for you, like, because you had kind of a couple of very badly placed jobs that year that weren't on you, and I was worried about, you know, your confidence being knocked and stuff. But it was more like, how are we going to live? Like, I guess it was selfish in that I didn't think of you first. I thought of us, but it wasn't like, what about me? Because it didn't affect me directly unless we lost our home, kind of thing.
Yeah.
But, you know, again, that's much smaller scale. That wasn't you telling me, like, I'm not who you think I am or anything But it still was, I had this vision of, you know, we were both in good, steady jobs and we had ideas, you know, thoughts of progression, and this is what our life could look like, and then, nope, that's taken away, and also I'm not going to replace that with something else secure right away.
Well, I didn't look at that job in the same way. Anyway. Like, I had two unfortunate jobs.
Badly so
by the time that came around, I was like, right,
you're a bit jaded, yeah. And you were expecting it. You kept saying to me, like,
I knew it was. I was on probation. It was a marketing agency.
It was a new job.
Yeah, I was on probation for being new, not for being
bad
performer, but I knew it was on the table.
You knew you guys had lost some clients and stuff, so it was worrying. And then it scared me because I thought, okay, well, now it's really on me to make sure that I'm irreplaceable in my job.
Yeah,
but I also work for a marketing agency, so it's, and you know, people were cutting marketing
your
costs.
Your marketing agency is better run by better people.
Yeah, lovely people.
And yeah, you've been there for years and embedded yourself.
But in a lot of ways, actually, it really made me push myself. And you know, in my appraisal, several months, you know, 6 months after this all happened, that growth and development was noted. So I think in a lot of ways, you know, it was a motivation for me to push myself and be irreplaceable. And not that I wasn't already, but, like, it just made me feel better to go balls to the walls, like, throw myself in. And, you know, I was recognized for that. And I'm sure it wasn't just that, but I think it contributed. So, you know, and now things have been going really well. So I guess if it's something that you're unsure about, like career, or they want to go back and do a PhD, or they want to go across the world to do a special program, like that kind of stuff, you know, if you can make it work, try and support them, because you have no idea what exciting things can come from that.
It's like with your sister and her husband.
Yeah, I mean, this was years ago, but my sister's husband decided after they'd been married 6 or 7 years in their early 30s, like, oh, I'm going to do a huge career change. It's going to, for now, really mean a lot of financial kind of financial loss, but in the long run, it'll be better for us. And it was a time when they were considering having kids. Like, it was a lot was going on. And of course, I think it kind of threw my sister. Anyways, it was fine. It turned out great in the long run. But there's always that moment of, oh, shit, this isn't a change. This isn't a change everything. And you find ways to make it work. So I think there's differing severity of these situations. And I'm sure we're not doing the topic as much justice as it really needs. But I think the takeaway here is, one, check your partner's okay. You know, if they come to you, I'm gay. Oh my God, how long have you been hiding this? Are you okay? That's really hard to do. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, I'm just, you know, the situation that we just talked about, I'm really unhappy in my career and I cannot do it anymore. Oh, are you okay, first of all? Okay. And then you think, okay, what the hell are we going to do about this? And try and figure it out together. But I think recognize the severity. Is this something that is going to completely change your identity of who you are as a couple? Then it's going to be a long and tough road. Or you might realize very quickly, like, you know what, all the best to you and I will always love you, but I cannot be in this relationship anymore. It's too far removed from who I am and what I thought this was. Or you might be able to find some common ground. Or it's something like, oh, I wasn't expecting that. Wanting to move across the world for a new program, or I want to do this degree and I can only do it in Timbuktu. Can you embrace that and can it be an exciting chapter for your relationship? And that's really all the wisdom we can share.
Yeah.
You know, we've encountered smaller things in our relationship, but you just hear a lot these days of, you know, really big changes and how people deal with it. And, you know, no relationship is going to go its whole duration without being tested in some way, and some relationships are tested in much bigger ways. And I think that this is one of the reasons we think it's so important to not equate your happiness to your relationship or to your partner. You know, you have to have something in you that's worth it all if that's taken away. So that, you know, if it is something that you guys can't work around and you're not going to be happy together, you need to know how valuable your own happiness is and pursue that.
Yep.
It's shit when stuff like that happens though. It's hard. But yeah, we just wanted to open the dialogue on that. So that's something we've talked about. We talked about, like you said, the religion and having kids and stuff and just changing your mind. But I think just even if it's not going to last, love each other through the process, because they're still the person you fell in love with.
Yeah.
And just try and work through it together and find out what's going to be best for both of you. Sometimes Absolutely. That'll keep you together and sometimes it won't. Just be good, be gentle. Anything else to add to that?
No, I think that wraps it up nicely.
All right. Well, have a good week, guys. And take care.